So chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on. So let us go on to, now I'm reading from the New King James. My Bible says perfection. What is the King James? Perfection. Let us go on to perfection. So you're not perfect yet, but we're going on to perfection. That word perfection is also maturity, is another definition for that word. Let us go on to maturity. Let's stop being babes. How many know you can't use being a babe as an excuse? Being a babe is a reason, not an excuse. Let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. So now he's saying, look, we've already gone through this. I don't want to have to go through all these basic things again. And it's funny how these are basic for them, but for us, we're like, oh, really? There's more. Go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now hold your finger there and come with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Still talking to the same crowd about the same thing, being persecuted. Let's go to verse 3, chapter 12. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you are enduring chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? Here, the writer of Hebrews is tying in the persecution as part of being chastised by a father. In other words, this is part of your walk with God. Because you're in the will of God and you're being persecuted, don't count that as sorrow and be discouraged. Walk through it and count it as this is me growing and being chastised by God. Not that God's caused it, but staying in God's path will cause you sometimes persecution. Now, we know that we don't accept sickness, disease, poverty, things like that as being something we have to put up with. But persecution is something that stands in your way that you have to put up with. If you try to avoid the fight that the enemy puts before you, then you step out of the will of God. Sometimes when God leaves out a path, if you haven't noticed yet, there's a beautiful little narrow path. And you go skipping along, following God, all of a sudden you hit this big wall. Usually it's called the flesh. Sometimes it's called persecution. Sometimes it's the enemy that says, you're going to be miserable. You're going to have a fight. So to avoid the fight, we want to try to go around the wall, but we look to the left, we look to the right. There's no way around the wall. You have to go through the battle because the path that God has for you goes through the battle. Jesus did not put that battle there. The enemy put the battle there to stop you from going down that path. How many have hit a few walls or battles along the way? So now you have a choice. Do I go through the battle? Or do I walk around the battle? And it's funny how, if I can say this the right, merciless God is when you're complaining to him about how miserable you are. And God, I'm following you, and this has happened, and this has happened. Where's the roses and the butterflies, and where's the prosperity and the miracles? Where is all this? And he keeps pushing you down a path because he believes in you. But the only way to get to the end of the path, which is a place of dominance where you walk around and every sick person that comes to you, you're not hoping. You know, bring that baby to me. I know what to do. I remember Brother Norvels told the story of his daughter, Zona. She had 49, I think, warts on her body. She counted them every day. Might have been 42, I can't remember exactly. And Brother Hagen stopped by Brother Norvels' house and said, I can teach you how to get rid of those warts, Norval. And Norval was offended, like, what do you mean you're going to teach me how to get rid of those warts? I've been praying. And Brother Hagen said, I'll teach you what I know, and you can get those warts off your daughter's body. Brother Hagen got an emergency call that night to go see his sister, who was in the hospital, and left. And didn't get to tell Brother Norval and teach him how to get the warts off of his daughter's body. And Norval says he got caught up in a vision and went up to heaven, and Jesus was there, and Jesus looked at him and said, how long are you going to put up with those warts on your daughter's body? And Brother Norval, I don't think he said it. I think he thought it, When you're just looking at Jesus, you don't talk back. But he said, what do you mean me? It's her body, but he had authority. So he said he came back to earth in the vision, and for the next number of months, he would, every time his daughter would walk by, he would say, thank you, Lord, for removing the warts from my daughter's body. Thank you, Lord, she's got the warts on her body. And Zona said, he would drive me crazy. Daddy, stop it. Thank you, Jesus, those warts are gone. And she'd count them every day. And she said one day she was she put her hand up in the closet to grab a shirt, and there was less warts. She counted, and there was like 8 less warts. And then soon after, all the warts were gone. And so Brother Norval learned what Brother Hagen knew, that you can have dominion over things and don't have to accept it. See, how do I get there? That's why we confess. That's why we pray. When you hit the wall and it seems like you can't make it work, every message out there that says, let's go and touch the world, will come to an end when you hit the wall that says you have to believe more than what you got. Then what do I do? Then what do I do? That's when Brother Norval's Dave Roberson showed up and began to teach about praying in tongues. And I thought, that's what I need, a path that I can use to walk further into God than where I'm living right now. Path into victory. A path into righteousness. A path into miracles. Thank God for the message that allows every believer, no matter where you are, doesn't matter what your past is, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter your history, there's a path to victory for you, no matter what you're going through. But we can't get the possible, the impossible, from the realm of the possible. But if you're without chastising, verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. In other words, he's simply telling Jewish Joe here that if you go back under the Jewish legalism and give up Christ because of the persecution, you're now no longer a son of God. You're going to give up your salvation. That's how desperate it is that the only pathway to heaven for you is through Jesus. To us American minds, it's not so hard to comprehend that, but when you've been raised every day for 35 years to live under one way, and you know God, Jehovah, and all of a sudden they're telling you that's not the way anymore, that's been done away with, You have to accept by faith what you used to earn by your works. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, verse 9. And we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful in the present, but painful nonetheless. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, it's not, again, saying that God's sending the persecution. What it's saying is, in following God, when you go through battles and struggles, that's part of following God. You count it. I'd rather be a heaven-going believer going through persecution than a hell-going non-believer living in prosperity. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees. So in other words, toughen up. And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So it's lame. The reason you're tempted to change course is because you're lame, but we don't want it to get worse. And you better get it straight or else it's going to get worse. In other words, you think you want to leave now. Wait till the persecution increases. Then you're really going to want to leave. And if you don't deal with it now, then you're going to run like a little rabbit later on. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one sees the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Now, Esau is the one who sold his birthright, he tells us here, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Do you understand that he's telling the Jewish believer, don't be like Esau and sell your birthright of Christianity, of eternity through Christ, for peace, for a prosperous life now. He didn't, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, so afterward, when his father died, he wanted to inherit the blessing. He was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now let's go back over to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have became partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Since they crucify again. Now, it doesn't say they crucify Jesus again. It says they crucify again for themselves the Son of God. So again, they crucify for themselves and put him to an open shame. In other words, Christ is not enough for salvation. Christ is not enough for me to follow, that I'm going to go back under the law and give up Christ and go back to God, Jehovah, through the law, because it's the same God anyway. But I'm going to go back under the traditions and Levitical law to get back God without the persecution. Let's go over to Isaiah 35. We'll start in verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellence of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart. Now, this is the scripture that the writer of Hebrews referred to. Say to them that are of feeble heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Now, in this verse, we read about the feeble hands and the weak knees. Now, I want to read a letter that I wrote this week, my teaching letter, because I'm talking about some of these verses here. There's a part I want to read. God, this is part of my letter. God has given us a path of hope that allows us to bloom even while we're going through battles. There's a barren desert in South America called the Atacama Desert, which is one of the driest places on earth. It looks like every other desert, and that very little grows. It's even been compared to the scenery of Mars. This is until the very odd times when rain does show up. When those small droplets of water fall into that arid soil, life begins to bloom seemingly out of nowhere. Some seeds of the most beautiful flowers are hidden beneath the dirt for the whole time and are brought to life with the touch of rain. Now, stay with me. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Because I want you to see that there is reference in both 6 and verse 12, chapter 12, to Isaiah 35. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Now, when he's talking about the rain that comes upon the earth drinks it in. The reference here, what I'm trying to make is, the rain is the persecution. That when the persecution hits you, whatever you have cultivated in your soil, in your life, that's what's going to bring forward. And what was happening was, their immaturity and who they learned to walk in or made themselves walk in and who they were in God was bringing forth briars and thorns and desires to run from persecution. Whereas if they had taken the time and grown out of being babes and matured into who they could be and were eating solid food, when the rain hit their soil, herbs and beautiful things would come forward, and they would find in the midst of persecution that they would find the victory and not run from the walk that God had for them. So when rain hits you, how you react. If you went back 5 years ago and talked to me and said, Brother Alan, are you healed? Praise God, I'm the healed. Because I did not go through a battle with my health. I remember talking to a young man when I was a young man, a young faith preacher, of course. Young faith preachers are usually different than old faith preachers. And he was crippled up in his back. He had been born with his spine was really crippled. He was bent over, hunchbacked. And I remember just looking at him and talking to him and counseling with him about faith. Now, I'd never been through anything, nothing like that, but brother, just believe. It's yours. It's already done. And I dismissed him. Like, just believe. Like, go on, have a good day. Believe, and it's going to be okay. I did not give him the right counsel for how he could walk out of what he was going through. If you went back and asked me before God told me, like Gary even preaches about him, and I love that he includes me in that, when God told him and then told me to walk in faith finances and not to preach and not to work and just believe God. Now, God told us, disclaimer, we didn't do it on our own will. It was because God forced us to. If you asked me the week before God told me that, I would have said, I'm a faith man. I believe in the prosperity of God. Hallelujah. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Jesus' name, I'm the lion. I'm the son of God. My daddy, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold underneath the hills. And then God told me to face my fear. I didn't know it was my fear. I thought it was prosperity. See, the problem is never the prosperity. God's already provided everything. But how do I go from where I am living and acting and walking to where I can live there? Same as with the miracle. You know, go pray for the sick. When I started to see miracles in my services, I had preachers teach me little tricks, which, you know, are great. But it only worked to a certain level, and then it stopped. It stopped. It didn't stop for Jesus, but it stopped for me. The question then became, do I stay satisfied with this level of ministry where you got a good reputation? People know you as a healing evangelist, and things are going good. And all of a sudden, God starts to pull me into a deeper walk to say, that's good, but it's not the best. I want you to go for the best. Hold your hand up and say, yes, sir, I'm going for the best. That's your problem. See, the problem why you're not satisfied is because God saw something in you and said, let's go for the best. Let's not be okay with okay. Let's not settle, because you can go further into him. And when he said to you, I want you to go to the best, that meant you had to go through the enemy's camp. Go through the battle that you're going through. Say amen if you're still with me. So all this talk of persecution, Gary preached about persecution coming to America and that we're wimps. How do I prepare? How do I prepare for the day when the city no longer accepts the message that we preach as being okay? How do I prepare when they begin to persecute us? And not just the world, but the church itself begins to bring persecution and lies against me. You know, how do I prepare? Well, he tells you, grow up, mature in the word. Take the knowledge of God and make it part of your life. So when the persecution or the rain comes and hits you, you'll find the good things will come forward. There is no temptation to run. There's peace while you walk through it, because you know you're going to walk through it. Look at these guys that he tells, and I'll close with this. In chapter 11, let's look at some of the testimonies of following God. Verse 30, we'll just start there just to make you, so you don't have a miserable Sunday. We'll just start in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. And those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, of Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Okay, that sounds great afterwards, stopping the mouths of lions. But in the moment, it may not be such a great. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves and of the earth. And of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't be a wimp. Let's continue to mature and become perfect in who God has already made us by our nature, but let's implement those steps and let's pursue the will of God no matter what comes against you. Because even if it's persecution, they are threatening to take you and your children down to the lion's den who have not been fed for 7 years or seven weeks. We got lions who are starving. 7 years, they'd be dead lions. And we haven't fed them for 7 weeks. And we're going to take you and your kids down there and throw them in the pit unless you renounce Christ right now. If you're mature, this golden fruit will come forward and you will say, kids, get ready. We're about to enter heaven with glorious trumpet. Because that's the fruit that's going to come forward from a mature Christian. If you haven't grown and taken the time to mature and you stayed immature on milk, then you'll find that the briars will come forward. And you'll say, whoa, I got to protect my kids. Don't you know that? See, if you asked me before I walked in faith for provision, and it's still a process. Until I get that Lexus, it's still a process. If you asked me before my battle that God threw me in, I would have said I was there. Just like if you asked me today, do you walk in love today? I say, yeah. But if you asked me 5 years ago, do you walk in love? Yeah. I look back 5 years ago and think, I didn't walk in love. You walk in peace? Yeah. 5 years ago, I thought I walked in peace. I walk in more peace. What's going to be like in a year or two from now? As we keep maturing, you keep taking the knowledge that's out there and making it who you are, living it. And it becomes, you become who the new nature says you already are. You are partnering with it. You are partaking of that new nature. You are joining yourself to it and walking it, maturing to it is a better word. You're maturing to the new nature, to the image within the new nature. So no matter what comes against you, you're going to walk through it without fear. But if you are already shaking, see, I used to get mad. I promise I'm closing. I used to get mad when I saw someone sit on the front row and be a leader, act as a leader in our church, and then skip town because they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get to preach. They didn't get to sing. They had a reason. They were offended. They were whatever. They left the church. I would get mad because of all the young men and women watching them skip, skedaddle, and run from where God placed them. But then now I realize it's because they're not able to walk it out when they were hit with persecution or with the lack of what they wanted. Things came out of them that pushed them away. And you don't ever walk away from the thing that God has you in without a good excuse. You always make a good excuse. If you're spiritual, you tag God told me to your good excuse, but it really still is a good excuse to get out of the will of God. Because you don't like what the will of God is making you face. Oh, now I'm preaching. I can. Let's start our second service with that. The only way for us on this path to see the crippled babies healed, to see the finances come in abundance that we can win the world. Not so we have new Lexuses, but we can use those finances to touch the whole world with the truth of the gospel so loudly that we shut down, we overpower the falseness, the lazy scripture teachers out there, because we preach in the truth. What a great opportunity it is when you hear the truth, because now you have something to compare the lie to. The truth is being squashed because we don't have the finances to get it out there. But boy, when we get the finances, let me tell you, the truth will be out there more than the lies. People can do what they want with it, but the truth will be out there. Holiness. There's a day you may be choosing today. I'm choosing today not to give in to what my flesh is telling me to do. But there's a day you can mortify that where it won't be as hard. That's the process. That it's not always a fight. It's a fight to begin with. That's why it's a choice, and that's why you're choosing the truth of the word over your emotions and what your desires are, because you know those desires are a lie from your flesh. But as you mortify them, there's a day where I can put whatever is tempting you in front of you and you're not even interested in it. This is the maturing to the new nature, the way we save ourselves from running when persecution hits is the same path we use to walk in the miracles, to see the prosperity, and to live a life of holiness. Now, I'm not talking about today, because what some people have done is they said, well, praise God, I can mortify the desires of sin right out of me. So until I mortify those desires of sin, I'm just going to sin. Hallelujah. What a great message, you know. And no, you don't give in to the flesh. But the fight isn't always going to be there. The fight that tells you that you're not good enough. The emotion that tells you God will never use you, that you'll never make it. The lie that tells you to be afraid that God's going to abandon you. All that will be mortified as you face it and overcome it. Because you are who He says you are. And you can walk in and mature to that place. That's our path that we're on. Thank God that we're not boring Christians. Thank God we're not living a secondary life, a life of secondary standards, where we hit the ceiling and we say, well, this is good enough. Say, I want the best. God, I want the best. That's why He asked you to be here today, because He believes that you can get there. He wouldn't ask you to be here if He didn't believe you could get there. I'm just going to have to stop talking on this service, because we are going to change the world. You are going to change the world. And when persecution comes, let's be prepared by maturing to who the new nature says we are. By continuing to pray and getting the word and making it part of a life. Because guess what? When that rain comes and hits you, good things will come forward. And that's when other people look at you and wonder, how are you surviving? How are you making it? They can't understand. I used to look at some of you people before I started really walking this out, where they talk about guys who fasted. This is before I learned about fasting. I remember one guy, they said, this guy fasts one day a week. And she had seen us when we heard that, like, oh my God. He must be like the Pope or something. That's amazing. Because at the time, we'd never fasted. This is years ago, of course. We thought if you don't eat for a day, you're going to die. You know, we never realized. And you move here, you know, out there, you pray in tongues for an hour a week. You're like superstar. You come here and you're like the amateur. Like, I better get my game on here, my prayer game on. I better get my confession game on. I better get, you know, because there is a path of victory. We're not going to settle for second best. It's going to cost you everything. Your whole life. And wherever that takes you. It may take you to America where you don't have to worry about being martyred for preaching the gospel. Or it may take you to a country where as soon as you say the word Jesus, they cut your head off. That's up to God where it takes you. But the same maturity is required. that we follow God because we win no matter what comes against us, no matter what the enemy throws against me. I don't accept that I'm where I'm supposed to be right now as being done. I accept that the new nature is done, but I still have to mature to that new nature. Otherwise, 5 years ago, I would have stopped and said, I'm good. I got peace. Man, the peace I have now is 100 times stronger than the peace I had back then. I got love, unless you talk to people around me. It's easy to love someone who loves you back. Can you love someone who doesn't love you back?
Yeah.
As if they did love you back. That's where we're going. Let's keep it up. Because we've got a world to change. Amen. Why don't you stand with me before we close? Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that we're on a path of dominance, where we live every day with the full confidence and knowledge at our core. There's no doubt, not 1 ounce of doubt, of unbelief that says we haven't won, that we are on that path to walk that and be that person and live as that person, to mature as that person, to where I have full confidence that everything Jesus has given to me actually belongs to me right now. No sickness, disease, or demon has the power to overthrow what you did in my life. No persecution, no battle, no poverty has the power to change my path off of the path you laid before me personally. So, Father, I choose the best because you've chosen me and called me the best. I choose whatever that you have chosen for me, whatever that is, whatever the enemy brings against me, persecution, I've already won. I have confidence. And every day I devote myself to grow and mature into the man and person of God that you call me to be, that you've already provided for me to be. I choose you. I don't choose this life. You're all I have, and you're all I need. Just say this quietly to him, if you would. My life is yours. Thank you, Father. See, there's just a grace that's coming right now. Some of you have been weary, maybe, or feeling discouraged in your walk, and there's a grace here to give you strength. To say, don't change course. Because what may seem like a chastisement, what may seem like a correction, is really producing something beautiful in you, a strength in you that says, I will not change my course. The devil, circumstances, men have no power to lead my steps, not even my own flesh. Only God leads my steps. Thank you, Father. We receive your grace and your strength right now. Thank you, Jesus. He's asking now, it's just like him. Once he gets you nice and sweet, he's now asking for you to give us something. Some of you are holding on to stuff. Or I would say some of us are holding on to some things. Security things. Maybe a bad habit things. Could be anything that he's been dealing with you to let go of. To cut out of your life. Could be a friend. Could be a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Could be TV time. Could be security in your life that's making you feel comfortable. And he wants you to rely on him. I can just hear him right now. He's asking you. He's reminding you, hey, remember that thing I've been dealing with you? To give up. He's asking you to make a decision today to give it up. Say, okay, Father, I'm choosing to give it up. I need your strength, though, to keep giving it up and not to bring it back into my life. With your decision comes his power. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'm yours. I'm yours, Father. My life's in your hands. My future's in your hands. My family is in your hands. I choose you. I choose your path. We're reaching desperately into the impossible today, Father, for your strength, for your courage. Thank you, Father. For those of you who feel weak, he's telling you right now, you are never weak. That's a lie. It's just a feeling. The fact that you're still standing, you're still here, tells you how strong you are in your faith with him. If you'll just stay in this atmosphere, please stay just quiet. We're going to keep playing just how you are. If you feel like you just want to, you know, God's pulling you to the altar just to come and worship in this moment, it could be just a refreshing, a dedication, it could be just whatever reason God's saying, and your heart's saying, I just want to worship God at the altar. We're not going to pray for you today. But if you feel that you just want to come and kneel at the altar and just take a few minutes with God personally, then please come right now. And I'm going to release those who want to go. Please go quietly and no talking in here. But if you feel that I just want to come to the wall, I just want to come and worship God at the altar, then please come.